It's a blessing. And you can just leave it there. It'll be okay. Like, I really appreciate that. We could just do it again, but it would go against my time, so we're not going to do that. So if you would, take your Bibles to the book of Philemon tonight, and I'm going to tell you something that I learned recently about the book of Philemon. I actually learned it today. That life is a process. And the book of Philemon was a process. Me trying to figure out what my job is here is a process. Life is a process, okay? But I'm thankful, you know, Hannah always asks me, well, what did you do today? When I get home, and she's always there to greet me with a hug or a kiss, and that's the best part. But after that, she has to listen to me go on about my day for the next 30 seconds, and I tell her, well, I did what Pastor Abel said. And then she's like, well, what else did you do? That's about it. That's enough. That's a lot. So, no, but I am thankful. He's given me good instruction. He's been a blessing already. And I'm thankful to have the opportunity to preach this evening in the book of Philemon. And so we're going to read the first three verses. So if you would, go ahead and all stand, and we'll just get right to it this evening. I never looked at the clock last week, and we got out like 15 minutes early. So hopefully that'll work out tonight too. If not, it's okay. I get 30 minutes extra tonight, from what I understand, because I gave you 15 last week. And so I'll keep a running tab, like Pastor does in the logbook. So, but Philippians chapter 1, and then we will just read a few verses here. We'll read through verse 7, but we will deal with the whole letter this evening. Let's read together. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. We're going to keep reading. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Here it is. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech ye, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray you just help us now, and thankful for just the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we love you. I thank you for the Spirit tonight. I pray you just help as we look at your word. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So something I learned recently is that, you know, trips, say from Tampa, Florida to Springfield, Missouri, they don't happen just like that. Amen. They take time, and with children, they take a lot of time. And with me, they take even more time, because my wife gives instructions, and sometimes I'll follow them. Other times, we sit in traffic for 30 more minutes. But I learned from Tampa to Springfield that it's not just a one-time, it's just done. If it was like that, I would go all over the world today. Like, that would be pretty awesome to go right now and go see stuff like the Empire State Building, or the Eiffel Tower, or the Great Pyramids. You know, those sort of events would have already been checked off my list if it was just a snap of the finger and it was done. However, we had to go to Georgia first, and then you go to Tennessee, and then you go to Kentucky, then Illinois, and then to Missouri. And then once you get to Missouri, time stops. And you have to drive all the way across the state to get to Springfield. Okay? That was our trip. We did it twice. But one time we came through Arkansas. I don't know which one was better. It still took forever to get here. Okay? That's just how it was. But my point is, if you haven't noticed, is that it was not like that. It was a process. There's steps to it to get there. Paul's writing Philemon here, and he has a goal in mind. Okay, and it took him 10 verses to get to the specific request that he wanted him to hold on to. Okay? However, in those 10 verses, building up to the final request about Onesimus and what was going to come, there was some things along the way that we can't skip in order to get to the story of Onesimus. So in doing that, we need to look at the book of Philemon. Philemon was a book written from a jail cell, and we will notice that Paul is the writer in verse 1. It says, Paul. I love that phrase because we already know something about the book. That's so helpful as people who study the Bible, okay? Paul, he wrote it, okay? Check. Philemon was a man of means. If we just look, that he had a church in his home. Most people in this city of Ephesus, they would have had a room-type situation, but this man had a larger room that allowed for him to hold a church service in his home. So just in that alone, we know that he had ability to host. So he had a man, he was financially set, at least better than everyone else. As Baptists, we understand that, okay? Yet his testimony was what Paul was concerned about. He said, yes, I want you to, I want to say hello to your family, and I want to see how the church is doing, and those sort of things, but I have a purpose of writing this book. Well, what is that? Well, we'll get in there. First, we need to understand that Paul viewed himself as a friend of Philemon, not as an apostle. It's important, okay? Well, why not? Because it's important. I'll tell you in a second. It shows a relationship that the two men shared. Paul worked in the first couple of verses to show how he was a companion, a co-laborer, a fellow laborer with Philemon. Says unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. He had a compassion for this man and fellow laborer. They had a common goal that they were working toward. He called himself a prisoner, a fellow laborer, and a brother. All reference a type of equality they shared one with another as friends. I thought it interesting that Paul said he was a prisoner. When you say, well, that's like this third word. Why are we going back? Because it's important. Okay? We're getting there. Paul, a prisoner of who? Of Jesus Christ. So when I looked up prisoner, okay, in my process, all right. So I looked up prisoner, and it's literally like he's handcuffed, because in those days they were bound to people. Paul was so bound to Jesus Christ that he took on his mission. Okay. So why is that so important? Because Paul's mission was formed after his interaction with Jesus. So he had this experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Almost said Emmaus. Another sermon. Damascus, and he had this light and this experience with Jesus. Okay, he was saved on that road. Paul used this specific wording three times as he is a prisoner of Jesus. He's a prisoner. He's in bonds to Jesus. We could look at Romans chapter 1 and how that he was such a prisoner, but he was free because salvation frees, but he was yet indebted. There was something that Jesus did in his life that allowed him to say, I am so free, I'm indebted. I have to pay this off. Well, how do I pay that off? With me. With my life. That's how I can do it. I'm going to keep acting like a prisoner and do the mission of Jesus Christ. Timothy was also mentioned in verse 1. Timothy is important because he's a witness of what Paul's about to get going on. Okay? Timothy, their common brother, was there as a witness to the testimony of Onesimus that was going to be made. So Paul is already saying, this is Jesus' mission. Timothy's a witness. Verse 2. Oh, I need to say hello to everybody. And to our beloved Apiphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church to the church in thy house. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's setting the stage of what is about to be said. He said he's bound to Jesus, his mission, my mission. He has a common goal with Philemon. What I'm about to say is of the Holy Spirit. It's of God. Grace to you. I'm praying that the grace of God will dwell in you so much that it empowers you to do what I'm about to ask. Companionship. Timothy's faith, excuse me, Philemon's faith in Jesus resulted in a testimony of love toward the saints. Philemon's faith in Jesus resulted, produced love for the saints. Verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. The characteristics of Philemon are marked by the change that is wrought in one who has had the same interaction, the same salvation that Paul experienced. Right. There is the same interaction that Jesus had, or that Jesus had in Philemon's life.
Right.
Okay, so there's a marked difference in their faith in Jesus Christ. So there is this common goal. Companionship. Faith in Jesus produces love for the saints. Why is that so important? Well, that was Philemon's testimony to this point. He had over and over again established himself as, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus is such a part of me that his interactions, I want them to be my interactions. I want Jesus to come through me and out of me. All right? So what's next? Well, one thing we need to understand is that faith and love toward Jesus and all saints doesn't doctrinally make sense. Faith and love toward Jesus and all saints. Okay? So what do you mean by that? Well, doctrine, don't mess it up, right? Yeah, don't mess it up. This would read wonderful and offers good preaching, yet the truth is that Jesus is the basis of our faith and not the saints. So Philemon couldn't hold on to the faith of Paul to love the saints. Rather, it had to be his faith in Jesus that allowed him to love the saints. Okay? People read this and think, well, I can just live on the coattail of others and have this love for people that's going to matter. Nah. It's got to be an outflowing of Jesus Christ in your life. So what is it doctrinally correct? The second option is that Paul is using a literary device here. Okay? It's called a chiasm. All right? Enough language study. What it does is it takes the love for the saints, so the love that mentioned first and the saints mentioned last. It's centered on faith in Jesus. And how he writes it in the Greek, that's what he's saying. All right? He uses this device, literary device, to point people, to direct them directly to the prisoner that he is, to the prisoner that even Philemon is, because they have a common goal. They're tied to this bond that the gospel must go forth. He even explains himself in verse 6. It says that the communication, the lifestyle of your faith, the people that needs to see this together, communication, don't know why I broke it up like that, but the lifestyle of your faith needs to be effectual. What does effectual mean? Energy. It needs to be put to life. Your faith has to have legs. Has to have hands. Because faith without works is dead. If you don't have any energy behind it, nothing. Because faith produces works. Works cannot produce faith.
Right.
Right. Can't. Amen. What it does reveal to us is that Philemon was an active Christian. He had this testimony that his faith in Jesus produced love for the saints. Verse 6 verifies that. Literally, that the work of faith being accomplished in him should bear energy to further acknowledge the work of Jesus in his heart. All of this centered on the idea that Paul found joy and encouragement in Philemon's tangible interpretation of his faith in his life. His tangible representation of faith in his life encouraged Paul. You could preach a whole sermon just on that. Would Paul be willing to switch out your testimony? He says that in Philemon's, or in Philippians. He's like, I would willingly trade out my testimony for the Philippian church's testimony. He says that. Chapter 2, verse 15, 16. Philemon understood that the expression of comfort provided to Paul through the works of love lays a transitional thought for the rest of the book. Because Paul knew what was coming. It had to be faith first, testimony of love in every situation. Yes. Not just when it's easy, right, or convenient. Amen. Or, well, it's Sunday morning, it'll be okay. Saturday night, Friday afternoon. Okay. Verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul said he could make this request based on his age, or his stature among the churches. He's Paul. I mean, Paul asked us to do something, we should give it great consideration. All right? He said he could do it with his age or his stature among the church. He could do it with being bold in Christ. He could say, Jesus Christ wants you to do this, and I'm the message of it. Okay, I want you to be understanding of the communication of what I'm trying to say is from Jesus. And he could be the one that could say that. And rightfully so. However, Paul did not ask Onesimus or for Onesimus to be released. He urged Philemon to respond to his Christian commitments and do what God expected. Paul subtly made the first point regarding an acceptance of this person, Onesimus. Leads us to ask the question. I know we haven't built much on Onesimus. We'll get there in a second. Is our work of obligation, or is our work of love? Obligation is a great thing. Should be taught. Probably needs to be taught more. However, it teaches, or it does teach, responsibility and character. Yet as Christians, we get to serve Jesus. As Christians, we serve a God, and we get to live for him every day because the work of faith is accomplished in us and allows us to affect the world that we get to live in. But if we're obligated to do that, it looks a lot different.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
It's built out a lot more convenience than love. This whole letter will come down to Philemon's response to the next few words. 7, to be exact. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Could you imagine if Paul said that about me or you? This is the Apostle Paul, the aged church planner, missionary across the world. He put his testimony on the line for this guy. For this young man who had messed up. over and over again, evidently. Because Philemon... Okay, time out. Paul and Philemon may have actually had a conversation about Onesimus one time. And Philemon may have said, this guy's unprofitable. I don't even know what to do with him anymore. Then he disappears, runs away. Most likely from the text, we think he stole. Okay, he took money from his master to get along the way. And Onesimus means profitable, actually. If you look up his name, it's kind of ironic. But Paul tells him, which in time past was to the unprofitable. He took money from you. He took a person from you, in himself a servant. He was useless in society. He was a slave. He was one who had drugged Philemon's name through the mud. Verse 11 says, but now, profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. So with the most intimate way that Paul could, he said, just Philemon, as you are a son in the faith, Onesimus is of me. He is a son in the faith, just like Timothy and Titus. Philemon, Onesimus. The one who messed everything up and left and ran away. He's the one that I want you to take back. Paul was certain of the work of faith being accomplished in Philemon because of the testimony that he had. His testimony of love would be manifested through the acceptance and the comforting of Onesimus. He was confident of that. Paul was not seeking to be overbearing. He wanted restoration for Onesimus, and he wanted Philemon's faith to continue to grow. Because you know one thing about bitterness? It's a killer. You can't go forward. And I don't believe there's any evidence that Philemon was in a bad place. But Paul did not want anything in Philemon's life that would deter him from the growth he had to make to continue their fellow laborship in the gospel. Because what's more important than you? The gospel. What are you going to do with it? That's the question. Are you going to let bitterness get in the way or a terrible situation? It could be a legit terrible situation. And I don't want to make light of those things. However, we have a God that says leave it there. Isn't that pretty awesome? That we can just leave it there and take the gospel with us and go encourage someone else. It was obvious, because we had the letter that Onesimus took, that Onesimus knew he needed to go get things right. So there's an obvious point that Onesimus had to get the letter to Paul. There was an obligation that he felt that he needed to go get things right with Philemon. There's several legal terms here that we won't take the time to look through. But you could see how the young man was dispatched as a messenger of an importance to get this message to Philemon with urgency, because things had to be settled. And if anyone knew the legal ramifications, it would be Paul. He was sitting in jail, okay, house arrest. Yet the value of Onesimus was revealed. The comparison to Philemon and Timothy and the other men mentioned here, just as Philemon ministered to Paul, Paul said Onesimus had ministered to him, to Paul. Because Philemon wasn't there, God used Onesimus to minister to Paul. So just as useful as Philemon was because of the work of faith that had produced love, Onesimus too had a work of faith that produced love in the ministry to Paul. Paul now shifts to show in verse 14 and 15 how God's, to show Philemon what Paul seemed to be doing, what God seemed to be doing, excuse me. God seemed to be using a wrong in Philemon's life to establish that grace will always triumph over sin.
Amen.
Give it time. Verse 15 says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever." When Onesimus left, he was a servant. It was evident that he left in a hurry. He stole, he wronged his master. But Paul wanted him to be received as a brother.
Yes.
You know, servants are temporary, but a brother is forever.
Amen.
The faith that was established in Onesimus' life because of the work of the Holy Spirit through Paul allowed for Onesimus to be a brother, not just a servant. There's actually indication that Paul never asked for Onesimus' relief as a servant. And Onesimus was returning, expecting to be a servant. Because that was his duty. That was his responsibility, his obligation. His obligation turned to love of his master because he was a brother in Christ. Commentator pointed out that the situation with Joseph and his brothers, how that God took a terrible situation of Joseph being sent down to Egypt and all these terrible things that happened to Joseph. But what does the Bible say? But God meant it all for good. This terrible thing that happened to Philemon, he was wronged over and over again. Paul used Onesimus, or God used Onesimus for good, for the betterment of Philemon. While providence is strictly up to God, we should never neglect it or look past it when we're reading our Bibles. To unpack some of that, we should consider the mindset of the day. Onesimus should have been killed. He was a runaway slave. Yet the love for this saint, which was produced by faith in Jesus, is counterculture. It goes against what the day says. Commentator said this: their union had three dimensions. They were united in humanity, a brotherhood of itself. They were fellow Christians and fellow servants of the Lord, an even stronger brotherhood. But beyond these, they had the same spiritual parent, a closer brotherhood than most Christians even ever experience. With each other, God supervises all of life. His providence was a foundation for Paul's confidence. Paul then shifts, just in case, to a substitutionary role. Paul covers every aspect on the direction of the Holy Spirit. Onesimus was deserving of the penalty and even death, yet Paul said to view Onesimus as myself, as Paul. He said that just in case you can't let him back, you can't, treat him as if I were coming back. Makes you think of Jesus. Makes you think how he came down from heaven to be an interceder between God the Father and us. Makes you think how Jesus was the only one that could mend this relationship. Paul was probably the only one that could mend that relationship. Paul was the one that shared his faith with Philemon. Philemon, in turn, was indebted to Paul. Are we not indebted to Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The one who came down and saved us?
Amen.
Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Again, Philippians chapter 2. What is Philippians chapter 2 about? Well, the mindset that Jesus had was to be our mindset. And what is that? That the light so shine before men in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That the light of the gospel go forth from Berean Baptist Church to Springfield, to Missouri, to the Midwest, and on. How is that done? The mindset of Jesus Christ. How is that done? Faith in Jesus produces love for the saints. If we can't love each other, we can't love a lost world. If we can't come together in our church services and worship God Almighty together in unity and be on the same page with one another, how can we ever go out into Springfield and make a difference? Paul was concerned that the testimony that Philemon had, and I believe Berean Baptist Church has, continues. It wasn't just enough for Paul to say, hey, take Onesimus back. I'm sure you're a great guy. Just get it done. Just do your job. He said, no, when you consider who you are in Jesus Christ and that we are prisoners and we're fellow laborers together, and you consider the faith that you've placed in Jesus Christ and how that faith has produced a love for all saints, even in terrible situations, then it is only by the grace of God that you can get through those situations. He starts it with grace in verse 3, and verse 25 says something different than most other places. It says in verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? Your spirit. What is that spirit? A spirit of unity, restoration, a spirit that seeks out others and wants others on the same road to restoration. The same road that starts at the cross, goes right through some terrible situations. It's the same road that starts in faith in Jesus Christ and goes through some awful situations and is only explained by the love that is produced from a Jesus that came down and loved us, and it is expected of us to go out. I love this church. I've been here 2 weeks now, and I know that may not mean much right now, but the spirit of unity here, let's not mess that up. God's given us an opportunity to reach Springfield, to reach the world. Let's not forget the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We stick with doctrine, with our Bible, with the goodness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get behind our pastor who's doing his best to do that. Amen. Let's get behind him, behind Jesus, and Pastor Abel's is right there, I promise. Let's get right there, and that will produce love. Amen. Under unity. Let's pray. Father, I love you this evening, and I just pray that you would just help us as a church. Lord, I know that you're able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Lord, you know that we're not told the rest of the story with Onesimus and Philemon. Yet we know their testimonies. And Lord, it's in us to look for the good. And Lord, we know that your promise is there to be with us. And Lord, we love you, and I pray that you would just help this evening. Lord, you know the needs of the heart. And Lord, I pray that you would just prove again that you're sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. The music will begin. We'll go ahead and sing a few verses. If you need to come do business with God, I encourage you to come down and just thank him, if nothing else, for your salvation, and then check your love for others.
Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, in the sight of God. thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin. Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within. Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Instruments, play one more verse. This every head bowed, every eye closed. So I just had a couple of thoughts. Well, first of all, just the main point of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ producing love for the brethren. I think that's something we need to take away. And I just thought about the relationship of Paul to Onesimus and Philemon to Onesimus. That Philemon, as the slave owner, and Onesimus as the slave.